Romans 1. I really feel led to preach this. So if you'd stand to your feet this morning, we'll reverence the reading of God's Word. I want to say I'm glad to see everybody here today. All our regular folk, all our visitors with us, we're so glad you're here with us today. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, by trusting in what He done at Calvary and the shed blood and the empty tomb, by believing that He rose again for you, you can get saved today. Let's look in Romans chapter 1. Begin to read with me in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Well, Brother Roloff loved that. Loved them verses right there. Out of the book of Habakkuk and here out of the book of Romans. And there was another place where the Lord said the just shall live by faith. And then they would sing, I'm living by faith. Amen. Brother Roloff and his choir. But then look in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. That's very important. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You can be seated this morning. Lord, I come to you now this morning. Certainly need your help. I pray that you'd guard our mind and our thoughts today. I pray that you'd lead us in this message. I pray that you'd give us clarity of mind, clarity of thought, but also clarity of speech. And Lord, because if you don't come by, this thing's going to fall flat. And I'm going to fall flat on my face. And Lord, it's okay if I fall. But Lord, we want the message to go forward. And Lord, we pray today that you would just help in it. I pray that you'd touch and anoint us afresh. That Lord, if there's one here lost, I pray they'd come to the saving knowledge and the truth of the gospel and get saved today. I pray you'd help folk in here today that need some help, that they'd find encouragement in your word. And Lord, it's not about me, but it's about you. And it's about living by your word today. And we thank you for it. Would you help today those that need it? Save that sinner's nearest tale. For all this in Jesus' name, we do ask and pray. Amen. And amen. In Romans chapter 1, in the latter part, the middle and the latter part, as we have read, deals with the wickedness and the guiltiness of mankind. You get over into Romans chapter 3, he really begins to deal with man's guiltiness. He said that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so man, at one point, Paul told us that he stands guilty before God. And we see that here in chapter 1. And man, and he's talking about man in his natural state. He's talking about man in his unregenerated state, his unsaved state, living lost. Let me say today that we can't expect people and that to do right if they're lost. They don't have right in them. And sinners do what sinners do, and that's sin. Amen. That's what they do. That's their nature. All they know to do is sin. But praise be to God, when I got saved and you got saved, we got a new nature. And that put on the inside of us. And boy, I thank God for that. And I'm still fighting my flesh. And I'm dragging an old dead man around with me. And listen, he'll rire up on me every now and again. I'm going to deal with that here in a minute. But listen, you have a new nature inside of you when you got saved. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And thank God for the new nature that's on the inside of every believer that has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, because of that new nature, I don't act like I used to. And I'm going to get to the message here in a minute, so stay with me. Listen, I don't act like I used to. I act different. Why? Because of that change. And I have the ability, by the help of God, not to sin anymore. Romans chapter 6 said, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Hey, we don't have to sin in this flesh. Amen. I mean, a lot of folks think they do, but they don't. I don't have to. Now, sometimes you've got to get a hold of it. Sometimes you've got to get a hold of your temper. People say, well, I just can't control my temper. Listen, friend, you can too. You can. If you don't control it, who's going to get a hold of it? Y'all heard me say this before. Some people say, well, I only lose my temper about once a year. Well, how would you like to live next to a volcano that only erupts once a year? Amen. You wouldn't really care for that too much, I'd imagine. Amen. Listen, the battle is between our flesh and our spirit, the inner man. There is a battle there. Galatians 5 said, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. They're going to fight one with another. And who you feed the most and who you pamper the most, that's who's probably going to win that battle, friend. I'm telling you, that's who's going to win. And Paul understood about the corruption of the body. He understood the sinful nature of the body. And you know what? He wanted to get out of the body. He said, for our conversation is in heaven, from which we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Man, I'll be glad to get out of this thing. I'll be glad to get out of this body one day after a while. Now, I want to serve him. You know, he left us in the body to serve him. We serve him with this thing. Right? This is what we serve him with. We are his hands and feet. We are his mouthpiece as being part of the body of Christ. We serve him with our flesh. This is what we serve him with upon this earth. And listen, you got to keep it under control. And I tell you, I fight with it from time to time. But I want you to look right here out of everything that he said. And I'll come back and deal with some of the things that Paul said. But I want you to look in verse 26. Verse 26, when he talked about the wickedness of man and the guilt of man. He got over here in verse 26. And he said, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. And I want to deal with that word this morning. That word vile. And what it means, and how we see it in today's culture, and how we see it in today's time, that men and women are becoming more vile all the time. I mean, it's you know what I said at the beginning of the service, sinners, all they know how to do is sin, and boy, they know how to sin, don't they? Yes. I'm telling you, sinners used to have good morals at times. And I know morals don't save you. I get that. I understand that. But boy, I do long for a day when there was such a thing as morality. I long for a day when it did matter what they put on TV. Amen. It don't seem to matter anymore. It really don't seem to matter. I mean, it's like it's all thrown out the window and nobody cares anymore. It seems, and I mean, even God's people, their morality is slipping away from the Word of God and living for God. Brother Bob touched on it in Sunday school this morning, talking about in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, where he said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." I don't think God would tell you to do something you couldn't do. And he said to live holy. He said, "Well, you just think you're going to be better." It has nothing to do with what I think. It has everything to do with what the Scripture said to do. And he said, "Be holy." That means to be separated and sanctified and add unto the things of God. Now take your Bible this morning. I'm talking about being vile. Take your Bible and go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. We'll come back to the book of Romans here in a minute. But go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. You get to 1 Samuel chapter 3. God, this is the first time that God spoke to Samuel. This is when he was laying in the bed over there and God began to deal with Samuel's heart. You know, God deal with you when it gets quiet, can't he? I'm telling you, sometimes you just need it to get quiet where God can talk to you. And he's laying here and he hears God call and talk to him. And finally, by the third time, you know, Eli had told him, if go lie down. And he says, "If he call thee," in verse 9, "that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place and God came and talked to Samuel. And you know what he told him? He began to talk about Eli. And he begins to talk to Samuel about how Eli had not done what he needed to do. And in verse 12, we pick up in the middle of the conversation. And he said, "In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." He said, "Look, Samuel," he said, "you go tell Eli what I've already told him." He said, "I have already told him," and he did. If you back up and look, God had already warned Eli and told him what was coming and what was going to happen. Why? Because his sons had made themselves vile. What's that word vile mean? It means base. That's on the bottom. Or worthless, or despicable. It means morally impure, or sinful, or wicked, or depraved by sin, or hateful in the sight of God and good men, Webster said. He said they have made themselves vile. First of all, I want you to look and see that by their actions, they were vile. Back up a couple of chapters. Look with me in chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. The Bible said this in verse 12. It said, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." Now you need to understand something about these boys right here. They were serving in the tabernacle. Eli was the priest. They fell into the lineage of being the priest of the Levitical tribe. And the Bible said right here that they, Eli's sons, were sons of Belial. You know what that means? They were worthless and they were wicked. And he went on to say this, that they knew not the Lord. We've got a lot of that in religion today. I mean, we find that in religion everywhere today. There's folk that proclaim to know the Lord. There's folk that proclaim to be saved, but they're not. I mean, because their actions speak different. Their actions say different. Listen, I know man messes up. I understand that. And we're capable of messing up. But listen, these boys didn't know God. Yet they were serving in the tabernacle. And they were sons of Belial. And when you look in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 13, He begins to warn them as they get ready to go over into the land of Canaan. And Moses is telling them, he says, if thou shalt hear in one of thy cities, which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, now let us go and serve other gods, which ye have not known. He said, that's what the sons of Belial will do. They'll not only go out and serve other gods, but they'll try and that to get others to go with them. Wicked. They believed in idol worship. When you look in just a few verses later in the book of 1 Samuel 2, you'll find that these men were taken of the sacrifice like they should not. It said in verse 14, well, let me back up to 13. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man, that sacrifice, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn that fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I'll take it by force. God had laid out how the sacrifice was to be done, but these men were going to take as they pleased. And so what they done is they made their own rules, they made their own regulations, and they served as they pleased and that to please themselves. Now I'm talking about vile. They were sons of Belial. They were taken of the sacrifice as they pleased to feed their own flesh, to do as they pleased and to satisfy their self. They didn't care nothing for the things of God. Why? They didn't know God. They were vile. What did he say over here? He said because his sons made themselves vile. You go on and you read about Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, about how great their sin was. You look in verse 22, and the Bible said, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Fornication and adultery. They were vile. Eli could have stopped them, but he chose not to. Eli could have restrained them, but he chose to let them do what they wanted to do. And everybody saw that. Everybody saw that. Do you know whether you correct your children or not, everybody sees that. Amen. Yeah, moms and dads, listen to me. It's up to you to raise your children. It's up to you to restrain them when they need restraint. It's up to you to award them when they need awards. But friend, it is your responsibility. It's not left up to the state. It's not left up to the government. It's not even left up to the church. It's your responsibility. Amen. And so if you read on over, you'll find that because these men were vile, they ended up dying in battle. When they come back and tell Eli what has happened, that they have took the ark of God, when the Philistines has got the ark of God. And the Bible said in verse 13 of chapter 4, and when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. Now they'd went out to battle. Hophni and Phinehas had took the ark and went to battle with Israel and that against the Philistines. And you know what? The Bible didn't say that his heart trembled for his boys. The Bible said that his heart trembled for the ark of God. I think Eli understood some things. I think Eli knew some things. And that's the shame about this whole situation is Eli knew some things. He just turned a blind eye to it and chose not to do what needed to be done. You know, sometimes you just got to do some hard things. Sometimes you got to do some things that you don't want to do and that to be right. Sometimes you say, preacher, you're always talking about being right and doing right. What, do you want to be wrong? I mean, seriously, you're too concerned about being right. Now, I don't think you can get too concerned about that. Amen. I like being right. I like winning. That's my wife. Amen. We play a game, I want to win. But I want to win right. I've never understood cheating at a game. I never have. I've never understood that. I've never understood cheating at a game. Why? Because you won wrong. Is that really winning? If you win wrong? What was it the Apostle Paul said? He talks about running, that we're all after the mastery, and he talks about running, but to run right so that we can win right. But these boys were vile. They were sons of Belial. They were in the work of religion. They didn't know God. They didn't know nothing about God. And the Bible said they had made themselves vile. By their actions, they had made themselves vile. I have no doubt they had a vile heart. But we come back to the book of Romans, chapter 1. And that verse that I read in verse 26, it talks about, for this cause God gave them unto them to vile affections. Vile affections. That word affection means your love for something, your desire, your passion, that attachment, that zealous attachment that you have. And he said their affections, what they loved, what they wanted to do, what they desired to do in their heart was vile and wicked. Can I tell you this? That having affection is not a bad thing. Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I believe it was, when he talked to the church at Corinth, he talked about Titus. And he said Titus's affection for them. You can have good affection. He tells us in Colossians chapter 3 to, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. Our desire should be there.
Amen.
But their desire, their affection was vile. Can I ask you a question? Are we living in a day like I read in Romans 1? I think so. I think we're living in such a day that we see it. How did they end up vile? How does man end up vile? I'm just not talking about being a sinner. We're all born into sin. By nature, we're sinners. How do you end up being vile? And I understand that as we stand before God in our lost condition, we're vile and wicked. I understand all that. But there's good people out there that are unsaved. They've still got good morals. There are fewer and fewer and fewer. Now, before God, they're still vile and wicked. But there's some men and women out there today that are vile.
Amen.
I mean, they're vile in their thoughts. They're vile in their actions. They're vile in their speech. They're vile in everything. How's that happen? You go back and you look at what it said in the book of Romans. In the first part, or in what I first read, he said they do what? He said they hold the truth in unrighteousness. You come on down here to the latter in verse 25, and you know what he said? Who changed the truth of God into a lie? They want nothing to do with the truth. They don't care about the truth. All they care about is what they want to do. All they care about is how they feel. They don't care about the truth of God's word. They don't listen. That's why they don't like us. I mean, the Bible talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, when this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And one of the things that he gives as a sign of the of believing in the end times, if I can say it that way, is the Bible went on to talk about despisers of those that are good. They will hate you because you do good. No other reason. No other reason. Just because you're good. You want to do right. They'll hate you for it. Why? They're vile. They change the truth of God into a lie. They have cast down the truth. He said they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They want nothing to do with it. They would not, nor did they, admit that there is a God. Notice what he said. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Now they have no excuse, but for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, man has no reason not to believe and trust in God. Why? You can go outside and look. Just go outside and look. I mean, heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork, Psalm said. You can see all that. Am I making sense this morning? Listen, when you come on down there, man does not want to admit and profess that there is a God. Why? Because when you get down here, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So they brought God down to their level. You know what man does today? He brings God down to their level. Why? Can't get to God's level. Now, we got to God's level when Jesus came down to man's level. Amen. I thank God for that. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only way you'll get there is by trusting him. If you've never trusted Jesus, you need to trust him today. Boy, Brother Bob got talking about it in Sunday school this morning. I'm missing hell because of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I thank God for that. But they were vile. Why were they vile? They didn't want to hear the truth, make application of the truth, did not want to believe that there was a God. They did not want to and was not going to. And they wanted to serve a God, but just not the one that the Bible talks about. Why? Because to serve the God of heaven, that requires a absolute authority. Man does not like absolute authority. I mean, that's why. Boy, when you talk about believing the King James Bible, man, folk don't understand that. Why? We live by the book. It's an absolute authority. That's how I'm going to run my life, my home, this church. I'm going to run it on this book. It is the final authority. I mean, if you need to know something, go look at it. You don't know how to raise your family? Right there. Be a good husband, good wife, right there. Be a good child, right there. Run your business, right there. For me to pastor this church, right there. I mean, it's all in there. Be a good citizen. It's right there. It's all in there. Amen. Thank God. But they changed the uncorruptible God into like corruptible man. And notice what your Bible says in verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up. So God gave them up to what? To uncleanness. If you look in verse 26. And this cause God gave them, there it is again, gave them up unto vile affections. So he gave them up to uncleanness to do what? To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. When they served the creature more than the creator, God gave them up to vile affections. But when they left the natural use of the woman, the man did, he talks about in verse 26, for this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So it is by nature that boys like girls and girls like boys. Don't hinder that. Amen. Don't have to have science class today, but it is a natural thing. And likewise, in verse 27, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, that means not fit or indecent, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, there it is again, God gave them what? Over. He gave them up to uncleanness. He gave them up to their vile affections. In other words, he let them live unclean. He let them do what they thought and what they desired and what they loved to do. But as they went on and they got against nature, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. In other words, proper or suitable. God just gave them up. Now, as one preacher friend of mine said, it's not up to me to decide whether God gave them over to a reprobate mind. My job is to go and tell. Go and tell about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if God's gave them up, he's gave them up to a reprobate mind. Now, I can't decide that. I can't make that decision. Only God has done that. We're just supposed to go and tell. Listen right here. The reason he gave them up to that vile affection is because they wanted nothing to do with the truth. They wanted nothing to do with the truth. They would not admit to the truth. And that's what we're living in today. Men are vile. Women are vile because they want nothing to do with the truth. The truth of God's word. Yet they'll say, well, you know, preacher, there's more than one truth. No, there ain't either. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the truth. He's the truth. They let the truth fall in the street, don't they? Let the word of God fall in the street. They want nothing to do with it. Don't want to hear it. And they're vile. They're vile. And they're wicked. Notice their actions. You come on down through here and we find sodomy in verses 26 and verse 27. As God's turned them over to a reprobate mind. In verse 29, he said they're filled with all unrighteous fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Backbite. You know, debate, they always want to argue with you, don't they? Backbiters, haters of God, what's bad? Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So he said, because God's turned them over to that reprobate, gave them up to uncleanness, gave them up to their vile affections, their wickedness, their baseness, their defiled nature. He said he's gave them up to that. And they went against nature. And so when you read in verses 28 through verse 32, as God gave them over to a reprobate mind, you see what they're filled with and what they do. Well, God's people should never be involved in any of that or around that. Why is that, preacher? Because, listen to me, because when we got saved, God acquitted our sin and changed our nature. You know what he said in 1 Corinthians 6? He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He said, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. So Paul said, you were like that. You were these people right here. I mean, I believe that he's told, when he describes them in 1 Corinthians 6, it's the same description that we find in Romans chapter 1. He said, you were like that. He said, and such were some of you, that's past tense, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Not everybody that's saved had the opportunity to grow up in church. You understand what I'm saying? I had the opportunity to grow up in church. My wife had the opportunity to grow up in church. These young ones running around here, these young families running around here, most of them grew up in church. It's what we've all known, just church. We've not had to fool with the world too much. You know, I preach a message sometimes that some folk get saved out of something. Right? I mean, they're just sinners. Man, dirty, dirty, vile, wicked sinners. The world's all over them. Dying, going to hell. But some get saved from something. Still dying, going to hell. Needs to get saved out of their sin. But they're not spotted with that world. Makes all the difference. I'm glad that I didn't have to deal with some of this stuff to come out of it. man is vile because he's a sinner. But when you get saved, you're no longer vile. He makes all the difference in the world. He cleans you up, makes you fit. You remember what we talked about, what that word vile meant? That word vile, base and worthless, despicable, morally impure, wicked and depraved by sin. I'm no longer depraved by sin. Now I fight battles, and I got to keep my flesh under control. I'm not depraved by sin. God saved me from all that mess, and I thank God for it. Vile, this world's vile. These men and women that you get around today. Brother Bob makes mention of one gentleman in our community out there where we live at. He's vile. I've talked to him on certain occasions, and boy, when his health was a lot better before he had a stroke, I think God was trying to get his attention with that stroke. He was very vile. Very vile in his speech and very vile in his thinking. And still vile today. If God don't save him, he's going to die in his sin. But how many people do we know that way today? What are we doing in front of them? You say, well, they don't want to hear the truth. I know folk don't want to hear the truth, but we need to tell them the truth. They're going to die in their sin if they don't hear the truth. Somebody better tell them that they don't have to live the way they're living. That boy, God can change their heart by the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what you're going to do with the message this morning. Let's bow our heads if we would.